Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I am your host, Craig Turner, author of the Turner's Take newsletter. You can find me on Twitter at Turner's Take, and all my contact information is going to be in the show notes or on the website, turnerstake.com, or if you're a farmer, turnerstakeag.com. I'm a broker here at Daniels, work with farmers, speculators, hedgers, futures and options, and the spread markets. We have everything from online trading to broker-assisted to our most popular category, which is hybrid, just in between. So if you have any questions, you want to talk to us, feel free to contact me anytime. So let's get into it. Since I've talked to you last, we've had a rally. We've had a rally in led by the wheat market. So what has been going on? Well, there has been concerns about wheat conditions, which we talked about last week, and it being dry, and or the past couple of weeks, about the dryness and the plains and the cold weather. And then that really started to pick up steam towards the end of last week and the beginning of this week. And then yesterday, after the close, we saw wheat conditions by state. So what's interesting about wheat is they do crop conditions on the state level. It's not on the national USDA where they send out one report, you know, for crop conditions. For winter wheat, because it's the only real crop they report on during the winter, nothing else is growing in the major crops in the United States, at least the major tradable ones. So the states just kind of release these things. And yesterday, Kansas and Oklahoma just looked poor. I'm going to put you on pause for a second. Let me get this report. Okay, so I sent this out in my Turner's Take Ag Marketing newsletter this morning, but, you know, Kansas, we are only 14% good to excellent. Back in December, we were 37% good to excellent. Back in November, we were 51% good to excellent. Last year's crop was 44% good to excellent. Now we're 14. Also, the poor to very poor has gone up to 44% in Kansas. You know, last year it was 20. In December, it was 22, so it's doubled. I mean, that's a big, that's not good. Kansas is a big state for producing wheat, especially hard red winter wheat, which is the one that's been rallying the hardest. Oklahoma, only 4% good to excellent. December, they were 15. In November, they were at 30. Last year, the average at the end was 33. So, and the poor to very poor in Oklahoma is now 79. Poor to very poor for wheat. We were at, that's really been hurt. We were at 42 in December. We were at 10 in November. Last year was 17. So even though we do have large stocks, I mean, we are seeing some issues. And we were down in, Nebraska, you know, also to some extent, also in Illinois, also in Colorado. South Dakota did see some improvements, and North Dakota also saw some improvements. But really, it's the big story is Kansas and Oklahoma. All right, so what did that mean for this week? Kansas City wheat started off towards the end of last week. We were at fourth, in the March contract, Kansas City wheat. It was at 424 on January 24th. Today's January 30th. We're at 470, almost 50 cents higher. There's been a big short covering in the market, too, with the funds being short. Chicago wheat, which was at about 423 also, is now about 458. I've been writing about in the Turner's Take Market Alert newsletter, which is where we do some of our spec trading. Buying Kansas City and selling Chicago. It's kind of a way to play this event if it happened. And we were liking it around zero. We got in right around 1 cent, a little bit lower than that, and now we're at 12 cents, and that has happened over the past couple of days. The thing with the Kansas City wheat, you got to remember, while in the short term we're seeing a lot of short covering, you know, all it takes is one good rain sometimes during the spring to revive the wheat crop. It's something that, you know, say wheat has nine lives. You know, we've probably only killed it three or four times this year. So there, you know, I'm still, as bad as it looks now, I'm never that, it's hard to get that bearish, I mean that bullish on what's going on with production, you know, until we really get to this spring and see how things go. But for right now, they're going to build the premium up. Here's the thing, and it's going to help, I think, farmers, especially with corn, making sales. You know, if you're going to have Kansas City wheat up 50 cents and, like, you know, Chicago wheat up 35 to 40 cents in the course of a week, corn's got to go higher too, right? And since then, corn has gone up about 10 cents. So, you know, it's not, I know there's a story in Argentina about dry and hot weather, but here's the deal. If Argentina loses 5 million metric tons of production, it's like 200 million bushels of corn. You know, the way analysts will take a look at that, they'll say, okay, if Argentina loses 200 million bushels of corn, half will come back in terms of export demand for the United States. That's usually the rule, the general rule. Do the same thing with soybeans. So, you know, maybe U.S. exports increase 100 million bushels. That's not a huge deal in corn, I'm sorry to say. Like, you know, the difference between 2.4 and 2.3 billion carryout is a nickel, right? So, you know, we're up 10 now. What is interesting, too, is we're having more talk about the same to lower corn acres next year. So that's getting some play. We're seeing more sales now come over. Like, we saw a corn sale this morning from Spain. What does that tell? And we've seen some other corn sales pop up from other countries that we haven't seen in a while. And what's that telling us is that South America is running out of corn for export, which, you know, they actually had a... And now we're going to start seeing the U.S. really pick up on corn sales. So that's been encouraging, too. So I know we've been way behind on our usual, you know, what the USDA says we'll be on track for exports. I'm expecting us to come back and start to catch up on that now that we see more corn sales come to the United States. So that should be happening, too. So that's a little bit of a bullish kicker for corn. And we're up 10 cents. It's going to be, you know, another 10 cents is going to be tough. If March corn gets to 370, that means May is going to be around 380, and that should mean that December should be around $4. And, you know, $4 in new crop corn is a pretty big psychological level. 370 would be very significant for old crop, too. I just think you'd start seeing a lot of sales, not only just from the funds, because we still have a lot of grain in the United States and a lot of grain around the world, or for corn, I should say. But, you know, they're... $4 new crop corn and $3.70 old crop on the board in the front month. It's hard to argue for higher prices just based on where stocks are now. There's, you know, we're not in a shortage yet. So corn will be helped by a rising wheat market if it keeps on going. Corn will be helped on the exports here. I still think we're range bound. I just think the ranges are a little bit bigger right now. I still like the Deese corn straddles we've been doing with farmers. Those have been working out for the old crop. I still think we're going to be, you know, in between, you know, 340 and 380 for the May. And that's kind of where we see corn right now, at least between now and planting intentions. Will be interesting to see what the Ag Forum says. Ag Forum comes out towards the end of February, and I really, trendline yield is trendline yield. What everyone really should be interested in is where the acre is going to be, and then what the acres are going to be in and the planting intentions. I think we're lower. I think that's going to tell the story in corn this year. We'll find out. In terms of beans, you know, beans have been short covering. You know, so beans have been short covering too, and it's been the weather. Now, as bad as the weather has been in Argentina, we've heard it's been pretty good in. We've heard it's been pretty good in Brazil. So you kind of got to wonder how much we're really losing in terms of production. But we do have a weather rally here. Well, let's. I'm going to take a look, see if we can find the latest production estimates for Brazil. All right, so here's the latest on South America. We're seeing some of the well-known consultants saying the Argentina and corn crop may be lowered to about 39 million metric tons. Brazil corn crop still 88 million metric tons. They were saying that for soybeans. Argentina could be lower by a million metric tons, but Brazil could be up. So it sounds like to me, you know, some of the losses that we're seeing in Argentina were going to be made up because Brazil's looking pretty good, which happens a lot in the United States. You get some areas that are poor, and then you get some areas that are good, and it all kind of averages out. Yet, you know, when we're talking about the news and the weather rallies, everyone's always pointing to the areas that are worse off, and no one's ever talking about, you know, where you can see record yields in other parts of the country. I think there's a little bit of an effect in Brazil and Argentina going on there, too. You know, bears pay attention to what they want to, bulls pay attention to what they want to. But if you meld them both together, I still think we're going to have plenty of beans and corn in South America. But right now we've got a weather rally. And in the Ag newsletter that I put out, I was saying, you know, we're going to be selling some cash beans at 10 and 10.15 basis Nove. You know, putting on 10 or 20% of sales. We did that. We had two targets also for corn for 10 to 20%. We hit one of those already. For the wheat market, I think I always like selling $5 wheat or anything above it. If it can make sense for you, great. But I will say this, and I think there's going to be a rally. Right now we've got a short-term rally in wheat. And we have this short-term rally in wheat because of what's going on. You know, the dryness of the plains. Not only is it dry, but the cold and the wind really deteriorating on conditions there. But come May, we're going to get another bullish catalyst for wheat. And what's going to happen is in May, the USDA will release new crop projections. You know, and what they'll do is they take the acreage report, the March 31st or March 30th acreage report, planting intentions, I should say. They take that, and they don't add that to the April WASDE. They add that to the May WASDE. And in the May WASDE, you see the first estimates for acres, yield, which is usually trendline yield, and then the rest of the supply-demand table is filled out for expectations for the coming year in corn, wheat, and soybeans. And what we're going to see in wheat, let me bring up my table. Again, I sent this out today in the Turner's Take Ag newsletter. It's the second table in that newsletter, and if you look at it, for... You're just being using like very similar estimates for supply for demand this year, and imports and all that. You had 46 million acres planted, which isn't anything radical. It's basically last year. We basically planted as much as we did last year for all wheat. We have the same harvested acres, so at 37.6, and I gave us a yield of 48, which right now is pretty optimistic based on what's going on. All right, it's a very optimistic 48 yield. It's a trendline yield, and quite honestly, after what's going on in the wheat market, I don't see how trend line is in the cards, but you never know. Wheat crop, you know, never says die. So let's just say 48. Even in those conditions, our ending stocks come down another 200 million bushels, and I've got our average price at $5. So even if we lose yield, you know, if we go down to 40, what does a 44 yield look like? Let's say a 44 yield on all wheat. Let's take a look. It gets us into the 600s on carryout. We're losing 300 million bushels. So, if you subscribe to Turner's Take and you're a client here, and you go to my website, Turner's Take Ag, and look at the wheat tables, you can see I have it for 2018-19, and you can kind of take a look at what, you know, why we lose this production. It's all about the acreage. And then if you project it out, I'm going to add it to the website. I haven't, but I did put it into the newsletter today. If you take it one step forward and say next year, just come January, you know, for next fall, we still plant the same amount of wheat acres and we don't increase them, you know, ending stocks all of a sudden are in the 500s, and all of a sudden you're talking about $6 wheat, which, by the way, then all of a sudden, you know, in 2 years' time, the grain markets start becoming more of an equilibrium. You know, corn at $4, wheat at $6 has a 1.5 ratio, corn to wheat. That's more historically normal. Beans, $9 or $10, they're about 2.3, 2.5 more than corn. That's historically, you know, in a normal supply and demand market, that's what you tend to see. So it looks like, you know, after years of low prices, we've been cutting down acres. Prices have gotten cheap enough in the United States through the export market or reduction of acres, where we're starting to see an equilibrium come back. And I do think in the next couple of years, this year and the next year, we'll see more normal pricing, or what most people consider more normal pricing for some of these markets. So in the short term, I'm bullish wheat. I know we get spring rains, take a lot of premium out of this market right now. But I do think in May, when the WASDE comes around, there'll be a very big catalyst for the wheat market going forward. So that's something we'll talk about in weeks and months, and whether it be your farmer and how to market it, or if you're a speculator, how you want to play it. And right now I'm neutral on corn, but again, we get that planting intentions report in March and also the Ag Form. I think we're going to start seeing acres come down. I think that'll start to creep corn up too. And then it's just all going to be about the summer. My big concern is wheat. I mean, is soybeans. My biggest concern right now is soybeans, and it's because we could still really have a $4 range in beans. I can make a very good argument for $8 beans, can make a very good argument for $12 beans, all going to come down to acres and yield. You know, at 90 million acres soybeans, meaning we don't add any soybeans, which I think is not going to happen, they're going to go higher. But if we just have 90 million acres soybeans and, you know, a 46.5 yield, which would be probably two below trend line, we're at 300 million bushels of beans or lower, right? And in a summer weather market, when, you know, you get when the crop is losing yield, and it's hot and it's dry, you know, in that situation, you can be in $11 and $12, especially if we're at $10 now, based on where stocks are. If we get 91 to 92 million acres and we get a trend line yield or better, which would be about 48.5 to 50.5, you can start making arguments for 500 to 700 million carryout in soybeans. At the higher range of that, which is not, you know, 51 yield, you know, 91 to 92 million acres, you know, that's $8.50 beans. So we could have a $4 range. So when we're marketing these things, we're marketing them in the cash market and doing the buyback in the futures, usually through spreads. And on the spec side, you know, basically you're looking to play weather rallies, you know, when we think we may have lost a crop. And that's really the way to kind of play these things as we go forward. So that's the state of the market right now. Beans have a $4 range. Wheat is a neutral to bullish outlook. Probably bullish in the short term, neutral in the near term, in the medium term, and bullish in the long term. And with corn, it's going to be a wheat follower. Like there's no corn would not be up 10 cents if Kansas City wheat wasn't up 50. I mean, that's just the way it is with corn. So that's the story there right now. In terms of the other markets, I think I was just we were playing around a little bit with the hog market earlier today. You know, we were looking for a breakdown lower, and we got it. So we were thinking maybe hogs come down another couple of points here, unless it can find some support. If it doesn't, it looks like it may take another leg lower technically. On the cattle, I think the cattle's been particularly difficult to deal with here. You know, we had a bearish cattle on feed report, and then the market gapped open on Monday. So that, I mean, that's just going to be a difficult market to handle right now. But I think we could cool off. We may look at some short straddles in those markets, since the options are so high. We're in the middle of the range, and you know, maybe that could prove to be a way to bring in some income. So we'll probably take a look at that. In terms of the other markets, you know, natural gas is going to stay this high until the corn, until the weather gets more mild. You know, as we come out of February, you do see milder temperatures, and that's when I'd probably look to take another shot on the short side of natural gas. But for right now, February can get some pretty decent cold spells, so you'd have to say the natural gas is more of a neutral to bullish market. And with crude, you know, we'll just have to see with that. I mean, technically, see what's going on with crude. I think last time I checked, technically we're still in an uptrend, and that was earlier today. Crude oil is down $1.20. It's still sitting at the support levels, even being down $1.20. We still haven't really broken the trend line support, so we'll keep an eye on that. S&P sold off today. I wonder if that has more to do with profit taking ahead of the State of the Union. You know, people who are up big, and the market has been on a tear. And you never know what's going to happen, the State of the Union, and President Trump is a little bit more unpredictable than some of his predecessors, right? So I can see why you would take some money off the table. He's not afraid to rock the boat. I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing. I think I'm stating the obvious there. He's capable of making some bold positions. So if you're up on the market, I can understand why you'd be taking profits into the State of the Union. We'll see what the president says, and I'm expecting it to be heavy on infrastructure spending from an economic growth. And who knows, maybe we'll turn around tomorrow, but you never know. The market may not like what he has to say, and we keep on going down. But I do really think that's why we're seeing the sell-off today, for the most part. Just not wanting to deal with the uncertainty risk of whatever goes on tonight. So that's kind of where we are. In terms of farmers, I like selling the soybeans in the cash market. I like the ownership on the board. I think for corn, farmers are getting some good prices here. And if they were looking to sell old crop or, you know, start making some sales in new crop, I would do it. Same with and I still like the straddles. Wheat has the potential to be, one, the weather market, not just the weather market and the huge short position that we're seeing covering in, but when we come to May, I think the market's going to be in for a big surprise, or maybe building up to it. Maybe more analysts like me will talk about it, more brokers and traders like me will be talking about it, and it'll start to get built into the market. But I think wheat has got a lot better prospects in the next year or two, and that should start. I'll be keeping my ear to the ground to hear when the rest of the market starts talking about it. Because it doesn't matter when I say it. It really matters when you see other publications start talking about it, and that's when you know it's got some legs, because I'm the only one I know who's talking about it right now. And until I start hearing others about it, we're just going to be early. So I'll keep you updated on what's going on there. Again, my name's Craig Turner. I write the Turner's Take newsletter, do Turner's Take podcast. All my contact information's in the show notes. If you're a speculator, you want to work with me trading, or you just want our research and check out our online platforms, you can do that. If you're a farmer or a hedger and you're looking for someone to help you with these markets, I'm your guy. You can give me a call at 800-958-9470, or all my contact information in the show notes and on those websites. All right, everyone have a great week. I'll be watching the State of the Union tonight. If anything just absolutely out of this world crazy happens, I'll probably do another podcast. Otherwise, I'll just put my updates in the newsletter this week. Turner's Take Ag Marketing and Turner's Take Market Alert. All right, thanks very much. Have a good night.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore, investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.